Today on Real Life Radio.
When we are mindless of God, we begin to miss his blessings. Because you know what God says? You seek me and you find me, and I'll see to it that you find me. I love that. You seek me, God says. Come on! Come after me! Take me on, God says, and I'll make sure you find me.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his study called the Book of Revelation with a message called The Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Now, here in chapter 6, we're given yet another key to understanding a series of events known as the Great Tribulation. This 7-year period is going to be a time of great deception that begins with a treaty with the nation of Israel and her surrounding enemies. You see, the events leading up to the tribulation period, they sound familiar these days. A world trying to live without God, without moral values, without demanding peace and prosperity. But only one man will come on the scene to do that job, and we identified him as the Antichrist. He is Satan personified and the first rider of the apocalypse. Behind the mask, well, he hides the face of an imposter, riding in on a white horse promising stability. But soon we'll see that he leaves a path of terrible devastation like the world has never seen or will see again. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that it's a challenging time in which we live. We all know that. But the most tragic part is those of us who profess to be Christians and yet refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit and live like the world does the minute they leave church. Now in his message called The Horsemen of the Apocalypse, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Of the humanistic mind, God is dead. Forget values and morality, because we are not made in the image of God. We are actually creatures that are at the top of the food chain, and it's the survival of the fittest. Now, what's fun about that, any of you young people in college, you're going to have those kind of courses. You got to have them. That professor's going to tell you that we are animals. Don't try to impose morality upon us. That's been brought onto us by a conservative religious group of people from the beginning. That's why you feel guilty when you do something that you've been told is wrong. There's nothing wrong. Everything is negotiable. There's no black and white, they say, because look, we can't expect much out of you. You're just an animal. You know, you can do a few things that's above the rest of the animals, but when it all comes down to push and shove, you're just an animal. So it's wrong for people to impose upon you a morality. You're a little bit higher than your monkey friend that's down at the zoo. And that's all you are. And your kids are taught that, and then you wonder why kids are putting bullets in the heads of kids. They're just animals. What are you upset about? What feels good, do it. And the humanistic manifesto is live it. If it's there, experience it. Get from life all that you can. Throw out what you don't want and just live and create your own world. That, my friend, is anarchy. It's a world without God, and it is a world, as we shall see, that is nearing its end. Those of you who are in college or in maybe junior or high school, I pity you. I pray for you often. You need to be able to stand up and say, and be equipped to stand up and say, if humanism is what it is, and evolution's true, and I am to do what feels right to me, that I create my own reality, that's the answer they want on the test, you know, then, Mr. Professor, sir, do you have a wife or do you have children? Yes, I do. Here's my children. You know, I have a little 13-year-old here, a wonderful little girl. Well, you know what? Why don't you bring her on into this class here? Because what's good for me is to ravage her body and to leave her bleeding dead in the corner. That's what I feel good about. Bring your wife in and let me view her as lesser on the food chain, and I'll put a bullet through her head. Because you see, I'm just an animal. It doesn't matter. And that's what I want to do. And you cannot judge me, Mr. Professor, on that, because I'm just an animal. And there is no morality. And that would feel very good to me. His humanism will fly out the window at that moment. Don't tell me I've done it. You see, that humanistic, godless society that is embedded in our kids' hearts and minds, a world without God, and we're heading toward it more and more, as long as the person talking is in control, It works for them. But when somebody challenges them, their house of cards comes down. And our kids have been taught in school, don't you dare question a professor. Listen, bring on the letters. I can just kind of feel them coming right now. Bring them on, come on, come on. Write them, right? Hey, listen, kids, I want you to stand up. I want you to talk to your professor. Listen, honestly, parent, you may not like my answer to this. I don't want your kid to fail school. Go ahead and give them the answers that they want. Did you hear what I said? If your professor wants this as an answer, that how did we ever come about? The answer is evolution. Go ahead and write evolution down there. When you get your grade and you're out of that class, go right up to him and say, you see these things? I got an A. I want you to know, I believed about 7% of what you had to say in this class. God's real. You may not believe in him, but you're going to meet him someday. Your theology will be right on the money someday. And I want to tell you something right now. I got an A because I gave the answers that you wanted. But I want, before I leave this class, and now thank you for my grade, I'm going to tell you right now, I disagree with this. It's humanism. That's an important thing. People, this world is on a path. The precious people out there, the blind people, they can't see that. Even those professors, they're moving on a course, they don't even know where it's ending. But you do. The Bible says it's going to end. The Bible says that this man that comes forth and this system that comes forth will bring a horrible red horse symbolizing death that's going to come. And given to a great sword. Look at our second point, verses 5-6. It is this. A world without God is a world that has missed the blessings of God. Completely missed God's blessings. I'm going to say something here. Listen, I've been up for a long time. I'm feeling kind of spunky right now. And maybe the orange juice from last service kicking in. But I got to tell you something. When we are mindless of God, we begin to miss his blessings. Because you know what God says? You seek me and you find me. And I'll see to it that you find me. I love that. You seek me, God says. Come on. Come after me. Take me on, God says. And I'll make sure you find me. You ever played hide and seek with your kids? When they're really little? You got to hang your leg out so they'll find you. And you're going, gee, hope you can find me. Why do you do that? You want to encourage them. And then they find you, Mommy, I found Daddy, I found Daddy. It's like, well, you hung your leg out there. Your head was sticking out. Of course she found you. That's the whole game. It's like, come and find me, honey, I'm going to hide. God says, you come and find me. I'll make sure you find me. When you find God, you find meaning and purpose and life and blessings. And the Bible says, as long as we're walking with God, he'll shower his blessings upon us. Listen, I am not legalistic. You know that by now after attending this church. But I will say this, God blesses obedience. Young people, God blesses obedience. Well, I don't want to do what my parent says. Your parent can be dead wrong in the eyes of God. But if you obey what your parent said, as long as it's not violation of the Bible, God will bless you even though their decision might be goofy. Did you know that? You can even say, Mom, Dad, I disagree with your directive on this, but you know what? I'm going to obey you and you'll answer to the Lord for it. Thank you very much. Hey, Lisa does that good to me. She, hey, you know what? You're the head of this house. You want to go over here on vacation instead of over there where we want to go? You're the head of the house. God bless you. We'll follow you. And you know, it's your thing. You know, we submit. Go ahead and book those tickets. And it's like, oh, man. Where do you want to go? Oh, women, you have a lot of power at your fingertips. Blessings. God wants to bless our lives in a great way. But listen, if we are living in a world without God, we're going to miss his blessings. I thank God for the United States of America. This is what I alluded to, the fact of being offensive to some of you. I believe this, what I'm about to say, with all my heart. And I can believe I can prove it historically, though. And biblically. Did not God say to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, as a nation goes. I am not asking you, nor I would expect of you, to agree with all that Israel does. You're not, you know, this is, you can't. There's a lot of stupid stuff they do. But don't ever turn your back on Israel. It's a spiritual issue. You say, well, you know, I find that highly offensive. Frankly, I don't really care what you think about it. God says, don't do it. God says, the moment a nation or a people turn their back on my people, that nation comes under a curse. Now, having said that, why don't you do some history and look at the nations who have cut Israel out of their existence? I'll give you a hint. You don't sign up to go there on vacation. If you do go, you've got to take antibiotics and all that kind of stuff because their standard of living is pathetic. Anywhere in the world. Mark my word. Go look and see. God has blessed America. In my opinion, God established the United States to put forth the word of God around the world as a platform to show in the early beginnings of America what a nation could be like when God was consulted. And to be a big brother, a big sister, a protective umbrella covering to the nation of Israel in its infancy as it gave birth to a new people on May 14th, 1948, at the admonishment of our president at that time. As long as we are desiring to bless God's people, America will be blessed. Mark these words. I am not a prophet, nor am I a son of a prophet. But I'm telling you right now, if this nation elects a president in its future that is against support for Israel, you can start marking your calendar. I'm not asking you to believe what I'm saying. I'm just asking you to take it as a test. Watch what happens. This nation will begin to diminish, and I think it's going to have to. If you see the advent of the Antichrist and the strength of the Euro and the rise of an ancient Roman Empire, where, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest nation that has ever been on the planet. Everybody with me? Are you listening? The greatest nation that has ever been on the planet, the most powerful nation ever in the history of mankind. You're sitting in it. The most affluent people in mass that the world has ever seen. You're sitting in it. Why is this country then not mentioned in the Bible at all? At all. Iraq is mentioned. Iran is mentioned. Saudi Arabia is mentioned. Lebanon, Syria, Israel, Ethiopia, Russia. Where's America? It's not there. Why? I don't know why. But why is it vacant? It's yet to be seen. How could the greatest that's ever been, and they're such a Christian nation, be so absent in the Bible? We miss on the blessings of God, which brings about a hopelessness when we don't consult the Lord. The Bible says here that a famine will break out. Look at verse 5, and it says that he who sat thereon had a pair of scales in his hand. Famine. And listen to this word in verse 6. I heard the voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius. 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. But don't harm the oil. Don't harm the wine. What is that all about? First things first, a denarius at that time was an entire day's wage from sunup to sundown. An entire day's pay for a quart of wheat? That means food will be scarce to have. Notice, I love the Bible, how perfect it is. Does it say that there is no food? It says you have to buy food and it's going to take a day's wage. It didn't say there's no food. This is how brilliant God's word is. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 24, in the last days during that tribulation period, there'll be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines. And the word that is used there implies not because God is faithful. Did you hear that? It's not because God doesn't bring rain and summer, winter, and all that. He's faithful to do it. It's political, religious famines. Food is diverted, manipulated, played with. Interestingly enough, it says, don't harm the oil and the wine. Every Old Testament and New Testament scholar agrees that this is a reference to those who are affluent and influential at that period of time. They won't have a starvation problem. They're pulling the strings. But the bulk of the world will have to work all day to get a loaf of bread. Why? It's politically and religiously motivated. And I challenge you now, this is a wonderful thing, look around in history and find out there are very few famines that have ever happened in the world that were environmentally related. Did you know that? There have been environmentally spawned famines, but nothing in comparison to the famines that have been brought on by political and religious control. You're living at a time right now. Look at North Africa. specifically Ethiopia. You know, right now, if we flew over Ethiopia, you would look out the window of your airplane and you'd say, what's the problem? It's all green and beautiful down there. What's the problem? Why can't they grow food? You know why they can't grow food? It's a religious political problem. The people who are not Muslims in Ethiopia can't get the food. They can't get seed. And all the world food programs that try to get in there, everything gets confiscated and carted away. It's a political, religious war. That's happening in the Sudan. That's happening in other parts of North Africa. Political and religious control has brought about great famines. People cannot have access to their crops or to seed or to water because of those powers that are in control. Now, that's not a popular thing to say. That's exactly the truth. And Jesus prophesied it before it ever hit this world. We see a world that is missing the blessings of God, and it doesn't have to be that way at all. Thirdly, we'll end with this, verses 7 through 8. We see a world without God, and that it's a world sentenced to death. And I tell you, there's hope in the midst of this whole thing. Please listen, there is hope. You don't have to be here for this mess. You don't have to experience it. But as we read these closing verses of 7 and 8, you're going to have to make a decision. Is this what you want? And by the end of this message, you're going to be faced with a decision. I'm going to ask people just sit still so that you don't distract someone. What kind of a person would sign up for this kind of mess? No one. Then what's my option, Pastor? What do I do if I don't want that mess? There's only one option. Only one. And that's the gospel. Behold, I make all things new. That which is old is done away. Behold, I make all things new. Now you are new creations in Christ. That's your choice this morning. To inherit the hell that begins in chapter 6, or to choose to receive heaven by the loving, giving hand of God. Don't ever attack God for sending people to hell. Nobody goes there. But first them having chosen that path. Be very careful about that. We see a world that's sentenced to death, and it's all around us, and it's increasing. And with this, I say, verses 7 through 8, this is not the world, people, that God intended. Man was not made to die. Did you know that? We were not created to die. We are wonderfully and marvelously made. Our bodies are so amazing. Even in this fallen, pooped out condition that we're in, it's a mystery to scientists and biologists and chemists how the human body is. And every so often, there's an amazing, even miraculous, natural, supernatural, built-in response of the human body. When almost doctors, you know, they pronounce almost, it's over, you don't have any hope, and all of a sudden the body kicks in and does something and freaks them out. That's like a distant ember. It's an effervescence of what once was. Your biology, we can take your liver. I mean, we're going to take your liver out. We'll take some. You can look at someone's liver under an electron microscope, and it's got God's fingerprints all over it. It's genius. The heart. What an amazing electronic pump. Creates its own electrical power, drives itself, gets itself going, and stays beating until the Lord says, stop. You know, death scientifically is a mystery. Oh, well, no, that's not true because his kidneys failed. That's why he died. Why did his kidneys fail? We have come to swallow death like it's nothing, and yet it petrifies us to death. The truth of the matter is we were never intended to die, but we live in a fallen world, and die we must because we are all S-I-N positive, says the book of Romans. Sin came into the world, and by sin brought death. Jesus Christ came to the cross to die in our place, number one, first of all, by removing all of the powers and all of the guilt and all of the things that we've ever and shall ever do wrong. It's called sin for all mankind. Did you know that? He died for you and he died for Mussolini. He died for me and he died for Stalin. But only those who come to Christ and receive that offering he made on the cross will benefit from his work. The choice is yours this morning. Will you say yes to Jesus Christ? If you inherit this world that is coming, you have no one to blame but yourself. No one. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to be a Christian because my Sunday school teacher upset me when I was 5. That's not an excuse. Jesus wants you to have life. And this is a world sentenced to death, and he wants you out of here. In the book of Revelation, there's a lot of hope. It just depends on what side of the fence you're on. It's my prayer this morning you choose life today. What are you going to do right now? Come on. What if our great God required your soul at this moment? You say, well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. You know, he can get you to believe in him in about a second. You know, he can cause your heart to have a little real tight feeling. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? You ever had that? Like, oh no. Coming in this morning from Atlanta, it was stormy, as you know. And the wings, man, we were coming over Utah, and the wings were just, I mean, that plane, the wings were flapping. I don't think we were, it was so violent and so rough. And, you know, the man part kicks in first. Well, this ain't nothing. I know how much this plane can take. I've seen modern marvels. This plane is nowhere near that kind of stress on those wings. They're not going to snap off. I've seen them snap off in the laboratory. They can't snap off. Those wings aren't even bending close to that. And then it starts getting worse. And then, you know, the plane's falling. And it's like, whoa. Then you start thinking, Lord, are we okay, you and I? Anything need to be cleared? But man, that plane starts moving around, and then it's, Lord, take care of my family. It just starts escalating. You may sit here this morning, oh, I'm an atheist. Billy Graham says, now that he's old and nearing the course of his career, Billy Graham says, I'm convinced now more than ever, I've never met one atheist in all this world. Not a one. Because listen, when it comes to push and shove, someone will cry out to God or gods of some sort. Some of you might cry out to Budweiser. He's not there. Some of you might cry out to, you know, your horoscope. Ain't there. Or you can do like Shirley MacLaine. I'm God. No, you're not. She's not going to be there for you. The Lord, he is God. He's the only one that can save you. See, that's mighty narrow. It sure is. Deal with it. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said, and no man comes to the Father but through me. I like when he talks like that, because how many times do you have to have someone die on a cross? Only but once. Only but once.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Thanks for being with us today. The Horsemen of the Apocalypse is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, a lot of Americans are on the internet talking about how this world should be moving towards a socialistic society. They think it promises a utopia. But do they really know what they're asking for? Well, if you think about it, really it's repeating a total nightmare. History's proven over and over again that socialism is not the idyllic answer, nor does it make for happy people. Pastor Jack's book of the month for March is called Socialism: The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. It's by William J. Federer. Now that's an impressive title for an equally impressive and eye-opening book. Is socialism the dream of an ideal society? Is communism the same as socialism? Are the crises we face right now an attempt for governmental control? And the most important question, how does God fit into all of this, and what does the Bible say about it? Find the answers to these questions and more, and when you do, share this book with anyone and everyone you know. Again, the book of the month for March is called Socialism: The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.